The following is a special presentation of American University Basketball and Federal News Radio. This is AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, a weekly look at all things Eagles basketball. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan is brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance.
Back out to Reed, right side. He puts up the three and he makes it. Jesse Reed with a big three, and the Eagles have the 7-point lead over the Badgers. Jesse feeds off to Vosic. Marco, left elbow, puts up the shot, acrobatic style, and gets it to go. Vosic nails another one. Delonte trying to drive the paint, does so, puts it up and in. Nice shot there by Delonte Jones, his first bucket in an Eagles uniform.
Now with AU head basketball coach Mike Brennan, here's the voice of American University basketball, Dan Lang.
And welcome into the show, Dan Lang alongside Coach Brennan, and David Aldridge is joining us today for the full show, class of 1987, Turner Sports, NBA on TNT, NBA.com. Thanks for taking some time, DA.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
So when you take a look at the way that this season has gone and all of the freshmen, you follow AU basketball, you come to a lot of the games, you watch the games, you listen to the games. At least I hope you listen to the games.
I listen, watch, full consumer of the AU product.
You see all the freshmen and the impact that they've had with James Washington, Andrea Matic, Delonte Jones, Lonnie Rivera. What do you think when you see the freshmen?
Well, I always, you know, remember Al McGuire's line, the best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores, right? So, look, this is not new if you take the 30,000-foot view. I remember 2005 when we were getting kicked around pretty good and people go, there's no hope, there's no hope, there's no hope. And there were four freshmen on that team who were Derek Mercer, Garrison Carr, Brian Gilmore, and Jordan Nichols. And so, you know, things change. Kids grow, they mature, they get better, they get smarter, they get physically stronger. And this is what's going to happen here. I think if you think about it this way, all of their best basketball's in front of them. Mm-hmm. The best they're going to play is in front. It's not behind. And I think that's most of this team. And so, I you know, big picture, you look at development. Are they getting better? Are they getting more consistent? Are they understanding the concept? You know, and then the X's and O's come later, but the concept you got to get first. And if they're getting that, then you can build on that. So that's what I'm looking at. And so I can live with, you know, the vagaries of one season one way or the other, as long as they're getting better. And I think they are.
And Coach, I mean, you've said that you're pleased with the way that they have evolved from the beginning of the season to now. You see them getting better incrementally.
Yeah, no, it's funny. David mentioned just the word hope, and like after every one of these games, I go home and, you know, you replay the game over and over and watch it and figure out what could we have done differently. But I always come back, and after you get over the actual loss, I think about our team, I think about our guys, and I'm excited for the next practice. Because you do see progress, you do see them getting better. Maybe not to the point where, you know, they're sophomores yet. But, you know, every practice I'm like, okay, we've actually, the two practices leading up to the last game were good practices. They helped us. We saw progress. Didn't result in a win, but it allows the coach to go to practice and sort of have, you know, life and like you know you're accomplishing something. And I got to give the guys a lot of credit because they've had the same attitude. I mean, they come to practice and, you know, it's easy to get beat down in a season like this. And they come every day and they see the progress too. So they feel themselves getting better. So, you know, it's the sort of mindset of the team, I think, for where we are right now is surprisingly positive. You know, I'm happy with their effort and with, you know, how they come to practice ready to go, you know, every day.
Now, a couple of the guys to really talk about, James Washington, he logged 37 minutes in the game against BU, came away with 15 points in that contest, 3 assists. And during the game and before the game, Pee Wee Gardner was around. Just talk about Pee Wee's relationship with James and sort of how he has helped maybe bring him along a little bit and the pearls of wisdom maybe he's dropping on him.
Yeah, well, anything Pee Wee says is gold. You know, I mean, he's got such a, you know, a sort of vast knowledge of the game. You know, he sees so many little things that happen on the court that it wouldn't occur to you know, a freshman or just a normal player to sort of try to make an impact. So he's always, you know, sort of whispering to James, hey, this is what you can, you know, be thinking about on a play like that. And again, too, I mean, Pee-wee wasn't Pee-wee his freshman year at Stephen F. Austin. So he had to, you know, go through his growing pains. So that's the other thing about it, too, is, you know, he's able to help them keep their spirits up and say, hey, you know, you're playing 30-something minutes a game. You know, you just scored 15 points. You know, when I was playing, I took two shots and, you know, I was going through this rough time. So, you know, even though it's difficult and, you know, you might feel down because of the losing, you're getting great experience. You're playing college basketball. You're on the court. You're scoring. You know, so like David said, you know, it's, I mean, the future's looks good for these guys. It's just, can we, you know, can we get over the hump a little sooner than having to wait for the sophomore year? Yeah.
And it's interesting to see, or I guess fun to see, good to see an alum and a guy like Pee-wee stick around the program.
Yeah, I love it. And it's good, you know, from a continuity standpoint, but also I think, as Coach said, from a perspective standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everybody... You know, you think the sky's falling, think this is terrible and awful, and it isn't. It can be if you just look at one thing, but if you look at the big picture and know that you're going to get better. And it's true, I think, for any freshman student at AU. Whatever it is you're going through, whether it's classes or relationships or whatever it is as a freshman, I know we were all there, and you think, my life is over because this person doesn't like me or I'm getting a C in a class or something. And it's not. It's going to get better. It gets better, you know? And so that's good perspective, I think, for those guys to have. And I just love the idea of, you know, great players staying connected to the program. I think that's how you build tradition. And, mm-hmm. and we've got a tradition here that's been built over the last 15, 20 years. And I want to keep it going because I think we've accomplished a lot and we're going to accomplish a lot more.
And it's good to see a recent alum stick around, and I think that's also important, that it's not maybe a guy from years ago coming mm-hmm. back and maybe the current guys go, okay, well, whatever. You know, it's Pee-wee, who obviously has made a huge mark on the program, and I think that also is an important component to it. Andrea Matic, we've talked about him, you know, a decent amount here on the show, but he got 23 minutes the other night against BU and looked pretty good, continues to look pretty good. And I know that, you know, you like his basketball IQ and his work ethic.
Yeah, no, Andrea puts in a great effort every day, and he helps other people. I mean, you know, this year, you know, the way we play, it's like, you know, you're emphasizing passing and, you know, you're throwing it to your center a lot. So to have him in the game and to, you know, feel, I wouldn't say comfortable quite yet with his decision making, but to see, you know, and his ability and, you know, I think he has the right mindset for what we're looking for. 'Cause that's the other thing. I mean, James, you know, he had 15 points last night, and it was all manufactured on his own, you know, where we're trying to get, you know, the team to the point where, you know, they're helping each other. So I think, you know, James, Delonte, all these guys, Lonnie, that once they, you know, they understand what we're trying to do and are comfortable doing it, that they'll be able to help each other more. You know, even with Delonte up to this point, you know, it's pretty impressive to me that he's able to score all these points, and most of them were manufactured on his own. Mm-hmm. And that's the harder part, you know. The harder part is to have a guy that can just, you know, get a shot, you know, hit a pull-up off the dribble, or just, you know, come down and just, you know, be able to bang a three as opposed to running through a set and know it's coming and be wide open. So, you know, if we can get Andre some more minutes here, and, you know, he's the type of center that you look for, that we look for, and hopefully, you know, they'll get some easier looks, you know, even Jesse. You know, that's why Jesse's sort of struggling right now is, you know, there's no one on our team that can help somebody else out. Mm-hmm. You know, the freshmen are the guys that can eventually do it, but they're just trying to keep their heads above water right now. So I think once they all get comfortable, you know, just being out there competing for a long period of time and getting comfortable with our offense, and, you know, you'll see more assists, you'll see easier shots. I mean, that's why Jesse was so effective in the past few years, was a lot of his baskets where he's just standing there wide open waiting for Pee-wee to kick it out or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's Andre, you know, gave us good minutes last night, and I'm happy with his progress.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. He's clever, you know. He's a below the rim player, as they like to call him, but he's clever. He's very clever and gets a shot off. And when a guy who doesn't really have great hops gets a shot off all the time, that's a guy who knows what he's doing, you know, because he knows angles. He knows how to get his body into people so that he can create space for himself. And so he'll, you know, continue to develop. And I like what I see from him. And you know, and again, I think he's a guy that's going to get better, stronger, more experienced, and continue to go forward. And so, and they'll play, and playing together, I think, is going to help, because they're still learning each other's games. You know, they're learning how a guy likes to pass up high, down low, you know, how he is on the move, how he is going left, right, you know, where he likes to shoot from. And so all of those things are part of that bank of knowledge that they're putting assets in. And it's, you know, right now it's a small amount of assets, but it's going to keep growing as the year goes on, and as the off season goes on, they spend time with each other and all those things. So that's going to help them, and being together for 4 years is going to help them, and helping the freshman next year is going to help them. You know, so all of those. I mean, that I think they're going to. I'm not worried about the future. The future is going to be very good.
Talking with David Aldridge, NBA on TNT in class of 1987 at American University. We've talked a lot about the freshmen here in this first segment. Marko Vasić got 40 minutes the other night against Boston University. Didn't have too many points, but did play an effective defense.
Yeah, no, we're just looking for stability right now. You know, just someone out there that can provide stability. You know, we went with defensive stability against BU, and then, you know, if you're asking Marko to score and make shots, it's not going to happen. And I, you know, he knows that. But you know, I'm happy with his toughness, with his grit. You know, Marco's always been like that.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
but you know, he's sort of a fifth option guy. You know, and right now you have too many. You know, there's no first option. You know what I mean? You have too many sort of second and third options. But Marko provides you that toughness. And you know, I wish it was football where you had an offensive unit and a defensive unit. You know, and Charlie's the same way. You know, Charlie didn't get a ton of minutes, but you know, he's gonna continue to help us in that capacity. So hopefully, you know, they continue to do that, and hopefully we can just keep the freshmen coming along. Because those are the guys that are going to help, you know, guys like Marko on the offensive end.
And Vasić is a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, if you like basketball, and I think all of us do, you watch the whole game. You don't just watch the scoring, which a lot of people do. You watch, is he bumping a cutter? Is he screening out on, is he boxing out on a rebound? Is he, you know, dropping down to help a teammate who's getting posted up? And Marko does all those things. And he's got good knowledge of the. He sees the weak side, so he sees the pass coming, to step in front and get a steal. So, I like watching guys who know how to play, and he knows how to play. You know, he's not a break a guy down off the dribble and get to the basket kind of guy. It's not who he is. You know, but that's okay. There's lots of ways people can contribute besides scoring, and I think he's like a master of that. And so, you know, I think that's good for the young guys to see. You know, I think of a guy like Lonnie, for example. I mean, I think he's got great potential as a defensive player. I think he could be a terrific wing defender with his length, and he's got good feet and good arm length. And if he watches how guys like Marko play off the ball on the weak side, you can have a great impact on the game if you keep the ball from going strong to weak with deflections and leading the steals and rebounding on the weak side, all those things. And so I think that's where a guy like Marko can be a great benefit for the young guys, too. Just watch how a guy can be effective in a game and not score a whole lot. And he does that.
Indeed he does. Time for our first time out here on AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. Fans, you can bring Coach Brennan home with you. And who doesn't want to do that? Bring Coach Brennan home with you from the Eagles game next Sunday, January 24th. It's Phil Bender District Day game versus Holy Cross. And the first 1,000 fans to enter Bender will receive a free limited edition Coach Mike Brennan bobblehead courtesy of Team AU partner Geico Insurance. Tip-off versus the Crusaders for this Phil Bender District Day televised home game is set for 1 p.m. Get your tickets today online at AUEagles.com/tickets. Again, that's AUEagles.com/tickets, or call 202-885-TIXX, 202-885-TIXX. That's Coach Mike Brennan Bobblehead Day, Sunday, January 24th at 1 o'clock versus Holy Cross. Back with more after this on Federal News Radio. welcome back into AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, joined this week by David Aldridge, class of 1987, and of course of Turner Sports. And DA, one of this season, this year, the Patriot League celebrating their 25th anniversary. And of course, AU's been a part of the Patriot League since 2001 and has 40 student athletes across the sports on the 25th anniversary teams. That's pretty impressive to have that many in that short a span.
No question. And I think I talk about this a lot, how one of the things that I'm proudest of is that AU's program across the board has been one of the best in the Patriot League. And I think about the volleyball team and how dominant they've been, just dominant over the last 15 years. Field hockey, same thing. You know, soccer has been really, really good over that period. Basketball, men's and women's have been really good over that period. And so that makes me feel good that, you know, this is an athletic program that really does not only emphasize the student part of student athlete, but also produces some great athletes.
And moving to the Patriot League, talk about that back in 2001 and sort of what sort of went into that and what you thought of that when you found out.
I could not have been more wrong. Couldn't have been more wrong. You know, when I heard we were going to leave the CAA, I said, let's go Division III. This is insane. If we're not going to be in the CAA, what's the point of being in Division I, right? You know, let's go Division III and be a Division III power, because blah, 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 all that stuff. And so, but then you realize how stupid you are. Within a very short period of time, you realize that this is the perfect league for us. It's the perfect league for us. It's regionally, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Competition-wise, it's perfect. Emphasis on academics is perfect. And it gives you entree to the NCAA tournament, which is really what we're all talking about, right? So that's what we all care about. And again, in all sports, you have entree to the NCAA tournament with this being in this league. You have a chance. And that's all I think any alum hopes for, is a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they get there or not, you know, that's up to that game that day. But if you have a chance, that's what you want to do. And so being in the Patriot League has been the best decision that was made by the powers that be at the time at AU, because I think it's a great fit for us.
And the three student athletes, the basketball players that are on the 25th anniversary team, Derek Mercer, Garrison Carr, mm-hmm. and Patrick Doctor. We've talked a little bit about Mercer and Carr. Mm-hmm. Give us perspective a little bit on Patrick Doctor, because he's not one that we talk too much about, because right. not everyone was around when he was around and playing at AU.
Yeah, Patrick was a heck of a post player. He was a really tough, physical post guy that was very good in the CAA. I mean, that's the kind of player he was. At that level of play, he would more than held his own. He was a good player and well deserving of being on that that team. We, you know, his senior year, we played Holy Cross here in the Patriot League final, and still the most brutal game I've ever been watched as an AU fan, just brutal. But he was a very good player. Frankly, it should be four. Andre Ingram should be on that team too, because he was an outstanding player for us for many years. And also, you know, played in the pros a long time in the NBA D League. So, you know, should be four.
And Coach, that means a lot to have those three guys on the 25th anniversary team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, like David said, I don't know. I believe the AU probably attracted people from all over the country and all over the world mm-hmm. before they were in the Patriot League. But it seems like recruiting wise, just the academic profile really allows us to sort of, you know, be in homes in California and Texas
right.
and Athens and Berlin. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
people want to be, you know, they want that degree and be, you know, obviously being in D.C., that hasn't changed. But having, you know, having that academic profile just sort of opens up a lot of doors for us from a recruiting standpoint.
And in the Patriot League, the fact a couple players have had the chance to play in the NBA, of course, mm-hmm. you know, C.J. McCollum getting having a lot of success right now with the Portland Trailblazers, averaging, 21 points mm-hmm. a game. Mm-hmm. And that's got to help, you know, when you go out and you're talking to people, that this guy played in the Patriot League.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's a ton of good players in our league. I mean, people don't realize how, or maybe they will start to realize how good this league is. And it's also a great coached league. I mean, there's the mm-hmm. the basketball that you see. I mean, just the offense, you know, the offenses that are being run and the offensive play, the defense. I mean, it's a well coached league, and all the players are very good players. So, you know, not just skill wise, but you know, understanding the game. So it makes for, you know, very good competition.
DA, class of 1987, let's talk a little bit about your career and sort of how you have gone from student at American University, writing, which is the basis really for even what we're doing right now for broadcasting. You have to, you know, have the groundwork has to be laid in writing.
Yeah.
And sort of just how you made that transition. So it's a loaded question. There's a lot there.
Yeah,
but just talk about how you got started and, you know, writing for the Washington Post and then moving on.
Well, I mean, I got started. I tell people all the time, I just got started at the Eagle. That's where I got started. I was there for 4 years, wrote hundreds of stories, and really gave me the foundation upon which I built everything, you know. And I was very fortunate and lucky that at the time, at the Post, the high school sports editor was a guy named Mike Trelling, who was a legend here in D.C., who was an AU graduate, and would give us a chance, give kids from AU a chance to cover your high school sports for the Washington Post, and that's where I got my chance. He gave me a chance, and I covered high school football and basketball as a senior, my senior year here at AU, and that led to an internship, which somehow led to a job. I'm a very lucky person. I, you know, that they had a job was, you know, they don't usually have jobs available. That they, for some reason, considered me for the job is even more amazing to me. And so I worked at the Post for 10 years, covered the Bullets, covered the Redskins, covered the Orioles, covered every, you know, you cover everything. And then, again, got very fortunate, got a chance to work at ESPN for 9 years and had a very good time there and really learned that, you know, I didn't know anything about TV when I went to ESPN. Mm-hmm. And that was at the time where they were bringing in a lot of writers and converting them into television reporters. And, you know, they were very patient with me, and I became somewhat okay at it. And that led, you know, I worked there, and then I've been at Turner for 11 years. So, and I love Turner, and I will retire from at Turner. So, I mean, that's where I'm going to work the rest of my life. It's a great place. I love covering the NBA for them. I love getting to do baseball during the playoffs for them. I love that we have the NCAA tournament. Now, unfortunately, sometimes I have to tell them that I have to leave the first 2 weeks of March free just in case we have a little bit of a run, because I have to go wherever we go. But it's a great place to work. And that's kind of the story. But again, it started at 227 Mary Graydon Center. That's exactly where it began. And I was fortunate that I worked not only there, but I tell people, you just go back and look who was on that staff with me. You know, the people that work there, like Steve Goff, who's at the Washington Post and is maybe the preeminent soccer writer on earth. And I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. He's maybe the best soccer writer in the world, the most respected soccer writer in the world. And he covered sports with me. And Jim Brady, who's now running Billy Penn up in Philadelphia and has been at the forefront of digital media for the last 20 years and is one of the top two or three guys doing it in the world. And writers, you know, Alex Clow is down in Florida covering business. I mean, we just had a great staff, people who became professional journalists, and they taught me a lot, you know. And I learned from the great Frank Jordan, who was our advisor, who worked at NBC for many years and was the dean of SOC. And so I was very fortunate, and AU changed my life. That's why I'm so supportive of everything, because it changed my life, and all for the good.
Now, when you went from writing to broadcasting, how did that happen? Was it your idea? Was it someone else's idea? And just take us through that transition.
It was a bit of both. I mean, I had done some TV locally while I was at the Post. But, I mean, it was mainly, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm especially smart about things. But I just sort of thought back then in the 90s that, you know, I'm going to have to figure out TV. I'm going to have to figure this medium out, you know, because I knew that somewhere down the line I was going to have to become somewhat capable of being on television. And so that was really kind of, it wasn't any one thing, or it was just kind of a general sense in the back of my head. Well, I think I'm a pretty good writer. And I think I'm a pretty good reporter, and I can do news. I could do newspapers for another 20 years, but there were people who were already starting to be successful, whether it was Will McDonough or Ralph Wiley, and people, there were people who were, Peter Gammons was another guy at the time. And so you realize that these are the best, some of the best writers, and they're going to TV. And so I probably should figure that out. And that really was the catalyst of it. Now, I didn't think I was going to be doing this for 20 plus years. I just thought I had to figure TV out. That really was the genesis of it.
Yeah, and now it seems like in reporting, you have to be able to do everything. You have to able to write, you know, whether it's for newspapers, internet, you know, do video stuff, do audio stuff, do social media is becoming huge. I think you have, what, over 500,000 followers, I think it is, on your Twitter.
I think most of it's spam, but yeah.
Never. It's all legit. It's all legit. 500,000 followers. Follow him. David Aldridge on Twitter. Fans, time for another timeout, and as Patriot League heats up, remember that an AU basketball game is the perfect venue to host your next party or group event, organize a group birthday party or neighborhood outing, and enjoy discounts and recognition at the game. All groups receive block seating, savings off the box office price, a welcome on the vendor video board, and a visit from Claude the Eagle to your seats. All for as low as $3 a person. Call the Athletics Ticket Office 202-885-TIXX. Again, that's 202-885-TIXX to book your outing today. Back with more right after this on Federal News Radio. Back here on AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan in front of this afternoon's game against Army West Point. And, Coach, it's always interesting to go up against Army in the sense that they have so many players. They have 18 players this year that have seen time in a game.
Yeah, no, that's how they play. They come at you in waves, and they press you full court. They're like, you know, it's like their pants are on fire the entire time. So it's going to, you know, be an interesting game for especially a guy like James who – you know, he handles the ball so much, and he's done a very good job against teams that play you hard and play you full court of, you know, handling the pressure, getting the ball over half court. So now that's just going to be another added sort of burden. And so it'll be interesting to see how he's able to deal with that. Maybe it might help him. You know, maybe we'll get something maybe in transition. Maybe, you know, have everyone, it forces you to move faster, which I like. But Army's good. It seems like Kyle Wilson's been, you know, all league, you know, top scorer forever. Him and Tanner Plum. So again, it's a bunch of older guys that have played a lot of minutes, and they can score in bunches. You know, they can really, really shoot. They get up and down. So it'll be a physical test for sure.
You mentioned Wilson and Plum, but there's also Kevin Ferguson that scores in double digits and is pretty good on the boards as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I remember when a few years ago he was young and, you know, he had to go through his growing pains too. So, you know, all that experience that he got early on is definitely paying off because he's one of the more effective centers in the league right now.
And D.A., one of the neat things about the Patriot League is the fact that the service academies are a part of it with Army and Navy teams that, on the basketball side that AU gets to play.
Yeah, no, and I also, I think, the two most beautiful venues to go to. I mean, just great. West Point is just gorgeous to go to if you ever get a chance to get up there. And Annapolis, same thing. And it's a pleasure to be a part of a conference where they compete, because even when they haven't been good, those teams always play hard. Army and Navy always play hard. 40 minutes, they're physical. And I like that. That's the kind of basketball I like to watch, is guys really getting after it.
D.A., thanks for taking some time today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
David Aldridge right there, class of 1987, and of NBA on TNT, Turner Sports, NBA.com. Thanks for tuning in to this week's show. Don't forget, coming up next on this very same station, it's AU at Army West Point, live from Crystal Arena on the campus of the U.S. Military Academy. We'll also have for you the Eagles road game at Lafayette this Wednesday, January 20th at 7 o'clock on AM 1500. It's Coach Brennan's Eagles try to tame the Leopards in a rematch of last year's Patriot League Championship. Stick around, tip-top. Coming your way in minutes.
Thank you for listening to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. Today's show was brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan on Federal News Radio. Archived episodes available online at AUEagles.com.